Lord, how do we pray? How do we pray? Maybe that's our question. What words should we use? You know, most of us probably think we should pray more, right? Raise your hand if you've ever thought that you ought to pray more often. Yeah, most of us, right? Maybe we remember Paul's words, pray without ceasing, and his words cause us unceasing guilt, maybe. But why? Why should we pray? What's it for? What does it do, we might wonder? What role does it play in our lives? Not how, but why? We're going to pray today. We're going to pray today like we do every Sunday and hopefully every day for all the people that we carry in our hearts. We're going to pray that people be healed, whether in mind, body, or spirit. We're going to pray that they have peace and comfort if they're grieving. We're going to pray that people be shown hope and love and relationship and connection and a bright future that they can work towards. We're going to pray that people, you know, that they get jobs, that their homes are safe, that doctors would bring them good news, that relationships will improve, and that we and the people we love will just be happy in life. We pray for those things all the time, don't we? But those of us who are here in church this morning, we pray for other things too, right? Not just the things that we want. We also stop to pray just to praise God, right? Sometimes we just praise God. Sometimes we pray just to give God thanks. And that's because we've been formed in this tradition of worship that we have, that all throughout this worship service, we give praise to God. We thank God at all times and in all places. Because why? Well, because God is the source of everything good in our lives. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? You know the song. Because this God has saved us from ourselves. This God has grabbed hold of us in baptism, as the Colossians reading was kind of alluding to, and by Jesus has included us in his death, and so we accept our own death, and in the same way, Jesus includes us in his new life. So we praise God for that. I can go through the Lord's Prayer. It's pretty familiar to you. You pray it every Sunday, and most days. Maybe this doesn't apply to some of you, but maybe it does apply to others. You can now get Luther's Small Catechism as an app on your phone. You can download it. So maybe you're praying the Lord's Prayer at some point in your day, and you can read Luther's words. He explains every petition so that we might understand it a little bit better. And you can hear, you know, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, that what we're doing is acknowledging God, right, as the source of everything good. We're acknowledging that we are creatures, not creators. And we're saying aloud that this God is holy and praying that this God is, may also that God's name be holy in us. We pray your kingdom come. And Luther reminds us that the kingdom of God, which is basically the state of being when everything is as God desires it to be, that God is truly ruling in earth as in heaven, right? That's God's kingdom. We pray that what comes on its own without our prayer, Luther says, but we pray that it may also come to us, that it may become real in our lives, in our thinking, and in our doing, that we would, that all of our ways would be aligned with Jesus' ways. And so when we pray, your will be done on earth as in heaven, we're praying the same thing over again, your kingdom come. When we pray, give us each day our daily bread, we're not asking just for bread. You know, Luther likes to be specific. He gives this long list. Well, what is daily bread? Well, it's an upright spouse, and it's shoes, and it's good government, and it's enough clothes on your back. All of these things that we need for life. Forgive us our sins, as Jesus puts it, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. We're admitting that we have no ground to stand on, that the emperor, in a sense, is wearing no clothes, that we have no right to ask for anything for which we pray, but that God gives all of it to us as a gift. We pray that we might release others from this tangle of sin and death by forgiving them, just as God has released us and set us free. Do not bring us to the time of trial. As Luther puts it, we ask that God would preserve and keep us from all evil, from the devil, and from all the ways of this world, from the ways we are tempted every moment to wander away from the way of Jesus and fall right into the ways of this world. We ask that God would keep us close. And so in Jesus' prayer, we acknowledge God. We ask that God would have God's way, not that we would have ours. We ask for enough, not forever, not for riches to pile up in our barns, and that's next week's reading, but that we ask just for enough for today. We ask that love and forgiveness would rule our world, not anger and rage and vengeance and fear. We ask that God would keep us on this narrow way every day of our lives. And so maybe it's obvious at this point, but we should notice that God does not teach us to ask in prayer for everything that we want. And of course, it's not because God doesn't care about us or the things that we want. I would venture a guess that most of you want some pretty understandable things, that you want some pretty legitimate things, that your desires are things that God also wants, and we pray that God would shape our desires so that we want the things that God wants. And yet, Jesus doesn't ask us to pray for everything that we want, not because it's not important, but because it's not the most important thing. If Jesus is our clearest vision of God, and we believe that He is, and if Jesus is the clearest vision we have for the way that God wants us to live, the life that God intends for us, then we have to notice that Jesus prays for the Father's will to be done, not His own will, but that even Jesus struggles with this. You probably all remember the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He struggles with this. The cross is before Him, and He prays, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me." We would pray that too, and yet Jesus resolves within Himself. He finds the strength from the Spirit, we believe, to pray, "Yet not what I want, but what You want, Father." Ultimately, Jesus lets go. He lets go of this world. He lets go of His own desires. He lets go of His life and accepts the death that is before us and then the new life that His Father is going to give. So I think we're called to notice in this story that Jesus tells about persistence in prayer, about the man who's knocking on his friend's door, that what He promises the Father will give us when we ask and knock and search is not always the latest thing on our minds, nor even the most legitimate requests that we can imagine making to God, but rather what He promises to give is the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that's what He says there in the last line of our passage? The Spirit who gives faith, the Spirit who gives us encouragement and even life itself, the Spirit who brings the Father's kingdom into the world, right? And yet today, as mortal people, as human beings who have needs, who have wants, whose hearts break for people in our lives who are going through hard times, of course we're going to pray that people would be healed, that the cancer would go away, that the unemployed would get jobs, that recovery from floods and earthquakes would be swift, that people would understand one another in our divided nation. We're going to pray for all those things because we have to. And God hears those prayers, and God gives us so many of those things. And why some of those good things that we ask for we do not receive while we do receive others, why that is, you know, of course, that I don't know that. And no human being walking on this earth knows that. One thing that I do believe from what Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels is that it's not because we haven't prayed hard enough or well enough. I've known people whose faith has been shattered and lives have been torn apart because they believed God didn't give them something because they didn't pray well enough. And I think elsewhere Jesus says clearly that that's not the case. Now, I like to look at it this way. You know, every day of my life is a gift. God didn't have to give me one day of life, much less 31 years that God has given me up to this point. We might ask the question, why us? Well, you know, why not us? Why do I have more food than I could ever imagine when millions of my brothers and sisters around the world starve? Why do I get to live in this beautiful and peaceful community of Harrisonburg, the Shenandoah Valley, when my brothers and sisters in Syria, their homes are being bombed and their children are being taken prisoner? You know, sometimes we're in too much pain to be able to take that perspective on things. You know, so we hurt so much we can't step back like that, and that's understandable. And I know the day's probably going to come in my life when something is being taken from me and all I can do is cry out to God, why? Just like so many of the psalmists did. You know, we're human. And sometimes we have to do that. But what God promises is the Spirit, who will be with us, who gives us hope and encouragement, who gives us the real life that God intends. God promises the kingdom that it will emerge here on earth as it is already in heaven. And God promises us the heavenly kingdom, the resurrection, the new heaven and the new earth that awaits each of us, where those who have gone before us already dwell. But maybe we don't have to wait that long for part of what God promises to us. A pastor who I respect a lot, he spoke this week about the kind of confidence that we can have in what Jesus promises. You notice he says, ask and it's going to be given to you. I will give you the Spirit. I will give you the kingdom. And when you're sure of something, when you're staking part of yourself on something, you act in accord with that promise that you believe is going to be kept. Those of you who plant a garden or plant crops, you believe that God is going to give the rain to grow those crops, right? And so you're willing to take that step. If you got a plane ticket that says the plane's taken off at noon and you believe that there's some trustworthiness behind that, you're going to show up at the airport at 10, most likely. If you're a merchant and you believe that you got a great product that people are going to buy, then you're going to buy a bunch of inventory and stock your shelves with that. And if we are sure that God is going to give us the Holy Spirit, that God is going to bring His kingdom into this world, I wonder, what does that motivate us to do, trusting that God will complete our actions? Our actions are always incomplete. But we can trust that God will bring them to a completion, not in our lifetime, perhaps. If you believe that your body is a gift, you might exercise as a prayer of thanks and stewardship. If you believe that love triumphs over hate, you might seek out those who you might consider enemies or opponents, and you might go listen to them and develop the ability to see the world through their eyes and repair that relationship. If you believe that God wants everybody to be fed and clothed, you might knit a blanket. You might put food in that box back there to go to the food pantry in Grottos. You might ask the question why people are hungry and learn the reasons and act upon what you learn. And if you care about the creation, you might tend a garden. You might find a way to use less energy. You might conserve the landscape in whatever way that you can. And all of these can be a form of prayer in your life. And so I ask you today, I send you with the question, how will you pray? Maybe your prayer will be taken an hour to walk around your neighborhood and exercise a little bit, or an hour of yoga, or an hour tending your garden, or an hour to fix something that is broken. Maybe you got a tool that you can fix and repair that little bit of the creation, or you've got something, you can go fix something that is broken in a relationship, or you can go visit someone who is lonely, or start down that long road of making improvements in your life. And all of these things can be a prayer. But we might begin all of these different prayers of action by stopping in our day simply to pray the words, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.